then we took an unusual topic to talk about that Christ died for nothing. If you know what, want to know what it is all about, please go to our church website. The message is there. And at our prayer planning meeting, we were told that we should talk about what next after Easter, because after Easter, people were so happy, so much chocolate in the house, so much eating in the house. A whole lot of people have become even chocolate Christians and struggling in the heat of time. But today we are here. So what next after Easter? I'm going to talk about a message which I have titled, As the Father Has Sent Me. As the Father Has Sent Me. It's not original to me. Jesus Christ himself actually said this after he resurrected from the dead. In John chapter 20, verse 21, he says, As the Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. So let's do some reading from John chapter 20, verse 15 through to 23. John 20, verse 15 through to 23. Woman, Jesus said, he meaning Jesus said, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am also sending you. I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Amen. These are the words that Jesus Christ himself said. This is the encounter with Mary, a follower of Jesus. So, let's try to unpick a few things here today. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. What next after Easter? What next after Easter? Peace be unto you. Today, what is next after Easter is that peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Be comforted, be strengthened. In some dictionary said absence of war. Maybe there's no war in your life, but there's turbulence in your home, in your workplace. God says, Peace be unto you. What next after Easter? Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, send I you. I also send you. We are now sent ones by God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to represent him here on this earth. So after Easter, we become sent ones. God has sent us in the name of Jesus, in the power of his Spirit. The Anointed One, the Messiah, has sent you just as the Father sent him. So peace be unto you. How do we respond to such a commission? that as the Father has sent you, so send I you. As the Father has sent us, so send I you. There are a few things that we need to do. Of course, there are a lot, but I've chosen quite a few. How do we respond to this? That as the Father has sent me, so send I you. One, we need to hear the voice of God clearly. After Easter, what next? We need to hear the voice of Jesus clearly. Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She heard a voice. She wasn't hearing voices, in case you're thinking she was losing it. She heard a voice. It was clear in her ears. And she turned around, supposing he was the gardener, and said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned. And she turned around and said, "Rabboni, master, teacher." He recognizes that. He recognizes the voice of Jesus. And today, I want to encourage you, after Easter, we don't stop worshiping God. After Easter, our problems don't go away. After Easter, our challenges don't disappear. After Easter, our anointing don't go away. But we have a commission, and we have to respond to it. How do we do this? How do we hear the voice of God clearly? Read the Bible and meditate upon it. Apply what you read in your life and every situation you face. Then you will bring God near to you. We read in John chapter 1 verse 1 and 2 said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God." And see, Christians, we love using the word of God. You see, it wasn't invented by Pentecostals, but it was invented. I mean, Jesus Christ himself actually said that. And it was said by the prophets many years before he was born. "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord." So when we talk about the word of God, we're talking about scripture. The Holy Bible, what is written in the pages about Jesus, about God, about the Holy Spirit, about us. When you read it, it has so much to tell us. And let us not read it as a routine. "Oh, I've read my Bible today. I've done my devotion today. I've read it. I've read that passage, maybe 7 verses." Let's meditate upon it, reflect upon it, chew it up. Throw it back and chew it up until God says something to you. And then you can hold on to it. And you can run with it. And you can ask God, "How do I apply this in my situation? How does this affect me? How does this guide me?" The Bible said, "How can a young man or a young woman make his way pure unless by the word of God?" And Solomon said, that our minds will make our plans, but God will have to direct our path. So it is a time that when you read the word of God, you have to hear God's voice clearly about your business, about your work, about your children, about the decision that you are going to make. Let God speak to you through scripture, and that you cannot go wrong, because we are Christ followers and we are God believers. And if we are God and God is his word, then we have to believe the word of God and run with it. Am I speaking to someone here today? We have to do that. God is speaking to us today through his son, Jesus Christ. For he is the radiance of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2 to 3, it says that God in the time past spoke to us in various ways or diverse ways. But in these days, he speaks to us by his son, who is Jesus Christ. He spoke to us by the prophets. So we cannot live only on prophecy. We cannot live only on visions. He spoke to us in various ways, but in these days, he says he speaks to us by his son. And his son is the word of God. And I'm glad that this passage is a conversation between Jesus Christ and his followers, some of them. Because Jesus Christ is the radiance of the invisible God. So as we hear the voice of God clearly, and as we read scripture clearly, I will turn it around, we will hear the voice clearly. And when we do so, we will see God clearly. Because Mary turned around, first supposing that he was the gardener. But then when she heard clearly, he said, Rabboni, Jesus, Messiah, teacher. So we have to move away our presuppositions and open our hearts for God to speak to us. Hallelujah. Second, we need to open to the reason why we believe. We need to open to the reason why we believe. What next after Easter? Open to the reason why you believe in Jesus Christ. We call ourselves believers. Isn't that right? Or Christ followers. Isn't that right? Or Christians. Isn't that true? So if these things are true, then we have to or need to be open to the reason why we believe. Verse 17 and 18 says that Jesus said to them, or to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. You see, God is connecting us to something. One of the reasons why we believe is that God is our Father. One of the reasons why we believe that Jesus Christ, as a man on this earth, had a Father in the heavens. And he said, look, I'm connecting you to him. So my Father is your Father. My God is your God. Hallelujah. So he is bringing us into the same realm that he was walking here on this earth. So that means what it was good for Jesus Christ, it is good for us. Nothing different. Hallelujah. And my mother's downstairs shout and say, amen. Hallelujah. So the same thing that worked for Jesus Christ will have to work for you. First, we must encounter the Lord, which will fundamentally change our lives. So we have to encounter the Lord that will fundamentally change our lives. Some of us have become Christians, but then we haven't encountered the Lord and our lives have not been fundamentally changed. What do we mean? She was a Christ follower, but something happened beyond what she had known. And that is, she heard the voice of Jesus clearly. She encountered the resurrected Christ. So after his Easter, what next? We have to encounter the resurrected Christ. Resurrected Christ says, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended. Doesn't mean that Jesus Christ don't want you. He said, I am in a different realm of power and authority and a supernatural ability. So, after Easter, what we need to do is to, the reason why we believe is that we have to have an encounter. See, when you have an encounter and it fundamentally changes your life, you will not go back. You are hungry for the Lord, rain or shine, sick or strong, dying or walking. You get consumed. You see, the consumerism in this world, or our technology people, or our businesses, they know how to get you consumed with whatever they put in your hand, be it an iPad, or be it an iPhone, or kind of phone, or some games, or something, or books, or something to put in your ears. They know how to captivate you. They know how to captivate you on the internet and YouTube. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it captivates you like that and more. You can't stop it. So we need to be open to the reason why we believe. We said we must encounter the Lord, which will fundamentally change our lives. We should also believe the word of God, scripture, and act on it. We should believe it. You see, there's one thing reading it, and another thing believing what is written in it. You see, it is easy sometimes, but then he's not disturbing yet enough. So we are saying that, I mean, you should read, when you read, believe it. When you believe something, you are excited about it. You are ready to want to try it, don't you? You really want to put it into practice. So believe what God says. Because the Bible says God cannot lie. And said all things will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So the word of God will not pass away. The scripture will not pass away. And what God says, if he cannot lie, then it is true. If we believe it, it will work for us. We should be living testimonies of what we have heard, seen, learned, and experienced. You see, the Apostle John, when he wrote in his epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1-3, he says, what I have heard, what I have seen, what I have handled, what I have experienced, by the power of the word in Jesus Christ, I also share with you. And in a short space of time, verse 3, said, and what I have seen, what I have heard, what I have handled, I will share with you. For our fellowship is first with the Father and with each other. So we should have an experience, a living testimony. We should be living testimonies of what we have heard, what we have seen, what we have learned, and what we have experienced. That way we give glory to God. That way we are changed beings. That way we move in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. What we have heard, what we have seen, what we have handled, what we have experienced, we share with you. We should tell others by starting with the disciples. He says that now, go and tell the disciples. So Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. See, resurrection message is for us. After Easter, some of the things that we have to do is that we have to begin to talk to ourselves. After Easter, what next? With all the fun and the piety and all the religion and the food and all the goodness that came with Easter, what next? We have to talk to each other. Meaning we have to encourage each other, but we also have to hold each other to an account. Are you following me? Wrong is wrong. There's no other name for wrong but wrong. And right is right. No other name but to say right. Are you following me right now? So if this is true, then hold people to account. Why are you doing this? Which is wrong? Why didn't you do this, which is right? What else can we do? And I beg you, don't make excuses for no one. Because one day we will stand before God and we'll be judged by what we do here on this earth. This is resurrection message. What next after Easter? Now, be an encourager and not a compromiser in my simple terms. Number 3. Now, what next after Easter? As the Father has sent me, so send I you. What we are saying here is that there should be supernatural manifestations. There should be supernatural manifestations. Sometimes church is so cozy for us. Sometimes church is so semi for us. I mean, each time I read the Bible, I'm thinking, but what church are we in? What change? How did church change into that social action, that just come to sit and worship God and sing some songs and go home? What changed? That is my question. What changed? Nothing changed. We become very religious. Biblical Christians are an active Christians. There is so much something happening in the church. So I said, we as South Street Baptist Church, we want to be a something is happening church. And you have to be a something is happening Christian. Life was never the same in the New Testament. Life is never the same when Jesus Christ was around. Everywhere he go or he went, there was something else happening. So how can it be the same? The Bible said every day is different. That's why every day has a different name, isn't it? I'm only being very simple. Because I'm a simple guy, I guess. So every day must be something different. Every Sunday, you shouldn't expect the same thing. You should come with an expectation to encounter God in a supernatural way. And he says, these signs shall follow them. I'm reading from Mark chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. It said, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons or unclean spirits with some translations. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents or, in simple language, snakes. You see, snake is not something that some of you have snakes as toys or pets. I don't know how you do it. I will not have one because snakes aren't my friends. You see, serious snakes, when you touch them by the tail, they will know how to tell you to please put me down. Let me press on before I digress. They shall pick up serpents with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. That means if you do it by accident, right? So don't go and drink some deadly poison thinking that it's okay. You might die. That's the reason why the name is deadly. But if by accident you happen to drink deadly poison, it will not hurt you. In my name, or somebody wants to poison you, it will not hurt you. It will not hurt you at all, it says in New International Version. They will place their hands on sick people or people who are sick or ill, and they will get well. Hallelujah. So then, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The question is, have you believed? Are you a believer? Have you been baptized? That is the word. Whoever believes and is baptized. I know some of you may be struggling in the Baptist church about baptism. Please don't, because that is the enemy's lie. I always said, if Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God baptized and God affirmed him, and you are Christ's follower and you are not getting baptized, which Jesus are you following? This is my argument. And I want to follow the only Jesus I know in the Bible. So if you are a believer and you get baptized, do that is right, and you are saved, these signs will follow you. So if you're a believer, my question is, are these signs accompanying you? Accompany means something come alongside you. It's your body. Follow you. That means you lead and it comes behind you. It means it's a companion to you. It's something that is common. You're familiar with it. And you interact or have conversations with that. So, if Jesus said this, why is that a problem in a Baptist church or an Anglican church or a Catholic church or any church for that matter? Why are we saying, oh, it's only Pentecostal churches that need to do that? Oh, they are weirdos. In that sense, they're probably being Christ followers more than some of us who think we are educated. So, Christianity is not about education. It doesn't mean that you should be ignorant. The Bible tells that you should study to show yourself approved unto God. So God approves of studying. And if you have the brain to get all the qualifications you can get, please go for it. It might do you some good. Does that help you? So, our person said, I will not rush to finish this message because there's a second session next week. What next after Easter? So be patient with me. So, if we say that whoever believes and is baptized, these signs will follow them, then we have to walk and expect and pray for supernatural manifestations in our church, in our homes, in our ministries. We should pray for that. One guy that I know, he's still alive. His name is Apostle Maldonado, Guillermo Maldonado. He's a Latin American guy who is an American citizen. He has a ministry in Florida. He wrote in one of his books, Walking in the Supernatural. He says that for us to walk in the supernatural, He said these three things are essential: faith, anointing, and glory. These must be present in our lives. I'll talk about faith. I'm sure you probably understand that. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means something that you pray to God about and you believe that God is able to do it. You begin to see it, as it were, in a vision. You begin to visualize it. You begin to hold on to it. And you begin to walk into it. And it becomes amen in your life. Verse 6 of the same chapter of Hebrews 11, he said that for anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is a way of seeking God diligently. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is about seeking God diligently. So if you prayed about something, seek God diligently and picture it diligently and begin to walk in it and don't waver. Sometimes you may be thinking, oh, is it going to happen or not happen? What does the word of God say? With me, all things are possible. And the whole chapter is dedicated to Christ's followers over several centuries, even into the New Testament, who believed God. And God did so many things, including raising the dead, including miracles, and a whole lot for them. So if you have the chance, you can read about it. But I want to bring you back. Instead of quoting somebody, I'm sticking with it. I want to bring you back to Scripture. Mark chapter 3 and chapter 9, verse 22 to 23 says this. There was this man who came to Jesus. And when he came, his son was very ill. And he didn't know what to do. But he had encountered Jesus. He had an opportunity with Jesus. And this is what he said. Master, if you will, if you will, please heal my son. If you will. And Jesus said, if you will believe, all things are possible. So he put it to Jesus, if you will. But Jesus is saying, yes, I will. But if you believe, all things are possible. So this time the if is not about Jesus, but it's about you. Believe in it, right? If you will believe it, all things are possible. The if is not with God, but with us. Jesus said plainly that the only limit to our prayers is the limit to our own belief. The mental actualization of the vision, which is in the mind. That means believing it is with the mind and with the heart. Because sometimes you really pray about something, your mind is telling you all sort of tricks, isn't it? Or it's just only me who has such problems. I'm thinking I'm sane. I'm not going sane. Well, I haven't reached there yet, but I hope I don't. We are saying that you have to mentally fight the battlefield in the mind. There's a battle going on in the mind that it will happen, won't happen. Oh, God will do it, God will not do it. That kind of thing. You don't want that. So you have to actualize it mentally with you, in your mind. And that vision is with you. Can you see in your mind the things not yet seen with the eye, but believe God, that God can do it for you? Faith makes all things possible. Faith can change your situation, your circumstances, and destiny. If only you will believe God's word and act upon it. Faith in God changes things. No matter how hopeless they may be, faith does not recognize any hindrance. Are you with me? Sometimes when we are praying about something, we only see the hindrance. I do that all the time. I'm praying to God And I'm seeing the problem. And God, can't you see that? And God, can't you see that? And God, can't you see the mountain? Can't you see the hills? Can't you see the valleys? That's all that I see. That is not praying by faith. Faith does not see the hindrances. Faith sees the hindrances, but it said, it is possible. Caleb and Joshua, when they went to spy the land in Numbers, 40 days they come the whole of the land that God has given to them, the promised land of Israel. They saw some giants. They saw a whole lot of things. But those who actually being commissioned, as it were, prayed for to go and come and bring a report, most of them, 10 of them, only visualized and saw all the bad things on the land and came and said, whoa, you haven't seen what I saw. The people were giant, that high, and we were like grasshoppers. Did they go anywhere close to them to know how tall they were? They began to literally exaggerate. You see, when you begin to visualize the problem has become bigger. It becomes like giants as high as this ceiling, and you become like grasshoppers. You hop on the grass. Even though they brought grapes and fruits from the land, which were huge, they said, oh no, we are not able to possess the land. Who told them? We are not able to possess the land. And sometimes we give up. When we see the problems, when we see the hindrances, oh no, we can't do that. And the moment you give up, you slip down into depression. You slip down into depression. You slip down into unbelief, and that is not faith. What next after Christmas? What next after Easter? It looks like I'm ready for Christmas. We have to have this supernatural manifestation of God. We have to walk in anointing. We have to walk in anointing. Walking in the supernatural presence of God is anointing. Anointing is a tangible presence of God, and this should be evident in your life. The tangible presence of God. People should feel God when you are around them. They should feel Jesus. They should see that, oh, I think you're changing, right? You're not the same sinner that I knew. You're not the same profane guy that I knew. You're not the same coward that I knew. You're not the same person who was always talking negative that I know. I can see something new happening with you. They got to see the supernatural presence of God. Wherever you are, people can come to you and thinking, can you pray for me? I remember when I was in the secular world, many times people came and said, pray for me. And I promise you, there was never a time, the 27 years that I worked in the secular world, there was never a time that I told any of the executives or my managers that I was a pastor. Never once. But yet people always come and say, pray for me. And I was so shocked when somebody called me Pastor Gideon. And I'm thinking, who is watching me? I was so shocked. The executive director said, how is the church? And I'm thinking, God help me. They know all about me. You see, so somehow along, I'm not saying I'm supernatural, but all what I'm saying the presence of God need to be seen with you. The anointing. The presence of God, the glory of God, the anointing of God need to be seen with you. It should be tangible that people will see and want to get closer to you. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it said that Jesus Christ, a man anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So to walk in anointing means God is with you. God himself will anoint you. His supernatural presence will come over you. And as his supernatural presence comes over you, then you can go about doing good. You can go about healing all who are oppressed by the devil. For God is with you. Let me talk about glory and This coming week is a week of prayer and fasting, and I'll just touch that bit and we'll come to a close. Jesus Christ, a man anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. So anointing is by the Holy Spirit, and it releases power in you to go about doing good, healing, casting out devils, for God is with you. Now the glory. What is the glory? We see the glory of God was upon them. In Solomon's time, when he dedicated the temple, the whole place was filled with the glory of God. What are we talking about? To the extent that people could not even minister. I don't know whether they saw, stage smoke coming out the place and filling the place, or some dew, or some whatever filling the place. But it's got to be something that was tangible and something that was felt. The glory of God is the power of God, is the beauty of God, is the reflection of God, is an awesome presence and the influence of God in your life. That is the glory of God. The glory of God comes when we worship. The glory of God comes when we open ourselves and sold out to God. The glory of God comes when we take God serious. And we say, God, you know what? I don't want to be say me only again. I want to be someone who's walking in power. Somebody who's walking with your presence. Somebody who's walking in your beauty. Somebody who's reflecting your beauty, your awesome presence. I want to be that kind of person who is being influenced by the Holy Spirit. I want to be that person. Let me read verse 20. Keep playing. That is good, Tanya. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The evidence of the cross must be real. He showed them his hands and his sides. It must be real. When they saw that, they saw that, wow, this is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The one who went on the cross, whose hands was nailed and blood flowed, whose head was crowned with thorns and blood faced, whose back was whipped and blood flowed, whose side was pierced, and blood and water came through. He is Jesus. I believe in him. The evidence of the cross must be real. That means we have to face up to our reality. Sometimes your reality may not be as sweet as someone else, but be honest with yourself. And God, you know what? This is where I am. I need you. You went to the cross to heal me. You went to the cross to save me. You went to the cross to rescue me from death. You went to the cross to take my place. Someone who is condemned, you went to the cross. And therefore, I accept that as my reality. I accept that as my portion. I accept that as something that is going to turn me around, because Jesus Christ, you went onto the cross and the evidence is real to me. The Bible says he was bruised for our transgressions. The chastisement of us was laid on him. By his stripes we are healed. We are saved by his grace. What does it mean that the evidence of the cross must be real? That means sin must be said for what it is. Facing up to our reality that every sin we commit or wrongdoing is primarily against God. We should therefore live a life of confessional repentance. The evidence of the cross is also the love of God. Bible tells in Romans 6:23. Says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. And John 3:16, we all know, or most of you might. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I would like to stop here. We'll continue next week. What next after Easter? As the Father has sent me, so send I you. So today, are you going home determined to see the evidence of the cross to be real in your life? Are you going home to see supernatural manifestations in your life? Are you going to open up to the reason why you believe? Are you going to now listen to the voice of Jesus? Shall we bow our heads and we pray. I want you to talk to God right now. I don't know which part of today's message has touched you. You may be thinking, no, today Pastor Gideon is not animated. That's okay. What is God saying to you? What are you taking home today? What encouragement have you heard? What warnings have you encountered today? Today, just talk to Jesus what you will do with this message that you've heard. Tell him yourself. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything but just pray to God in your own way. You can sing for us, and then I'll finish with a prayer.